The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! All right. Hello and welcome to the Thunderbolt for March 26, 2021. The Sackler family is in the news again, so this week I'm going to replay the show that we aired when the scandal first broke and before anyone knew who the Sacklers were. It's time to pull up your galoshes because we're about to wade through it again. Hello, kids. Welcome to the Thunderbolt, where you never know what's going to hit you next. We not only report on the news, but we expose the news's dirty underwear. For instance, our criminal justice system has a couple of truly nasty stains in its underdrawers, as it has been recently revealed that a lot of courtrooms these days are using computer programs to analyze data in determining the risk level of various defendants for purposes of setting their bail. And it turns out, though, that these computer programs produce false positives for black people twice as often as they do for white people. Really? So how can a supposedly dispassionate and objective computer program be racist? Simple. The data sets that the program uses are derived from our current criminal justice system, which is, of course, systematically racist to its very core. In other words, these racist results are the result of that old computer programmer adage, garbage in, garbage out. Yes, welcome ye seekers of the truth that lay behind the lies that are themselves wrapped in misdirection and then buried under several megatons of obfuscation. This is the Thunderbolt for April 6th, 2018, and we're going to start off this week's show with our semi-regular Thunderbolt feature. This week in the world! Yes. This week in the world, members of our federal government began trying to impose work requirements upon recipients of Medicaid. Well, I would suggest that we should instead impose work requirements upon members of the federal government. Last week in the world, liberals across the country were outraged at Chrysler for using a moving speech from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in order to sell Ram trucks during the Super Bowl. Well, as usual, the liberals are aiming their artillery at the wrong target. I would have set my sights instead upon the foundation that administers Dr. King's legacy. A foundation that I believe is administered by descendants of Dr. King. And I would set my sights upon them because the foundation needed to sign off on the deal in order for Chrysler to be able to do that. I would also be interested in how much Chrysler paid in order to purchase Dr. King. In addition to all of that, in a move that is so stereotypically typical, it makes me want to start gibbering hysterically, our glorious leader has said that he wants a full-blown military parade down Pennsylvania Avenue, complete with giant missiles and everything. Geez, dude, I've heard of overcompensation, but really, how small is that thing anyway? And now it's time to go grab a bag of popcorn, because it's time for the Thunderbolt Movie Review, where I tell you about a few flicks you may want to see. This week's review is of a movie called Drone. And you'd never guess it, but Drone is a movie about drones. Actually, more specifically, Drone is a movie about a drone operator and about one of that operator's victims. Now, I recently watched another movie that also featured drone operators. And while I am forgetting the name of that other movie, I do remember that it was set in Las Vegas, the home of one of the major facilities where actual drone operators actually conduct their war crimes. And watching the drone operators leaving their families every morning in the circus-like atmosphere of Las Vegas in order to go murder women and children on the other side of the planet, that contrast causes a most exquisite case of cognitive dissonance. However, one shortcoming concerning that other drone movie was that it suffered from a lack that has pretty much permeated all American cinema from the very beginning, in that the only Middle Eastern characters that were portrayed were literally the ones that the pilots watched through the lenses of their bomb sights. Now, while overall that other drone movie was sympathetic to the drone pilots, it also made clear that those pilots were committing mass murder. And at least a couple of the fictional drone operators had serious questions about what they were doing. Now, that movie, as well as the one that I am about to review, were both produced by Netflix. And say what you like about Netflix, or say what you don't like about Netflix for that matter, they do occasionally come up with a true masterpiece, and I personally think that Drone is one of them, in spite of its admittedly unimaginative title. For one thing, Drone comes closer than anything I've ever seen in the American cinema at humanizing a foreign terrorist. Yet they seem to have done this without unleashing the wrath of the organized militant Muslim bashers of America. The plot of Drone is this. The wife and the daughter of a Pakistani doctor are killed in an American drone strike. And the Paki doctor subsequently manages to track down who the responsible drone operator was. Now, if I had been that doctor, I would have tracked down the person or persons who gave the orders to the drone operator, rather than the operator himself. But that probably would not have been as dramatic for cinematic purposes. Anyway, the Paki doctor travels to the United States, where he ingratiates himself with the drone pilot and with the drone pilot's family, whereupon he quickly earns their trust, only to eventually reveal himself in a dramatic ending that absolutely does not go anywhere near where you think it is going to go. Now, the Muslim terrorist that is portrayed in Drone is no cardboard cutout bad guy. And in fact, the central point of the entire movie seems to be seriously questioning who the bad guys actually are in such a situation. Yes, kids, the Thunderbolt gives Drone 5 stars. Yippee. While I often criticize Democracy Now, for this next piece, I will give credit to Democracy Now for doing what they do so well, i.e., their team has once again dug some skeletons out of some very dark closets. Now, I had never before heard of the Sackler family. That's S-A-C-K-L-E-R. That is, I had not heard of them until Democracy Now! Put the Sackler family directly on my radar. So if you are a patron of the arts, then quite possibly you have heard of the Sackler family. But if you are not a patron of the arts, then you probably have not heard of the Sackler family. Well, that very much needs to change. And the Thunderbolt is now about to do its part to see that it does change. Yes, once again, your trusty Thunderbolt is going to remove the lipstick from some particularly repugnant swine. Yes, kids, welcome to the latest Thunderbolt portrait of evil personified. So since the OxyContin epidemic struck mostly white people, it has now turned into a scandal comparable to the thalidomide scandal, the big tobacco scandal, the asbestos scandal, the Ford exploding Pinto scandal, the GM ignition switch scandal, and so on and so forth, nearly ad infinitum. Now, in some aspects of their operations, the Sackler family is very public. They have their names plastered all over museums and universities all over the country, in fact. Almost every Ivy League school in the country has an institute or a museum named for the Sacklers. This includes Yale, Tufts, Columbia, NYU, and Cornell, amongst many others.
Hey, brother, what you thinking? Leave that on record spinning. You feel the rhythm going. Legs ain't got time to lay low. Your knees are bending, so it's time to get up and let go.
And the Sacklers are an international operation. They also have halls and museums named for them at King's College London, at Edinburgh, and at Sussex. As for museums, there are named rooms or wings for the Sacklers at the Guggenheim, the Louvre, the Tate, and the Met.
Hey, brother, what you thinking? That good old sound is ringing. They don't know what they're missing. Legs ain't got time to.
Other parts of the Sackler operation, though, are almost completely opaque. In 2007, Purdue Pharma, the manufacturer of OxyContin, pled guilty to criminal charges for criminally misbranding a prescription drug. They paid a large fine, and three of their top executives lost their job. Now, this was a big story at the time. What wasn't part of that story, though, is that Purdue Pharma is not only 100% owned by the Sackler family, but that family members also filled more than half of the seats on the board of directors. And that the family even supplied a lot of Purdue's top executives. Yet not one member of the Sackler family was brought down by this scandal. In addition, the Sackler name did not appear anywhere in the guilty plea. However, the Sackler name was plastered all over the attached non-prosecution agreement, wherein the government agreed not to prosecute any family members. However, the attached non-prosecution agreement does not explain why no Sackler family member was ever prosecuted.
Can we do it again?
As for the overall picture concerning the war on drugs in general, and the opioid crisis in particular, I have here a quote from journalist Christopher Glazik, who said, "In my view, what you want to do when you look at the opioid crisis is to look at where the real profits are. And it's actually not with the distributors. It's really with the manufacturers. And you know, people kind of think they're following the money. And McKesson and Cardinal are these huge, giant companies. But you really want to follow the margin, because that is what is going to tell you who's controlling a market and who's kind of like a minor toll taker. And the fact is that the manufacturer, Purdue Pharma, which really created the market, created all this business for Cardinal and McKesson, etc. They had much more detailed information about where the pills were going. And they knew down to the prescription level which doctors were prescribing which drugs. Now, the distributors did not know that. All that the distributors knew was about the pharmacies. So they really are just one small part of a giant chain." Unquote. So the details of all this go on and on and on. The Sackler family very intentionally launched the opioid invasion, and they have since systematically maintained the opioid crisis for their own personal profit. There is absolutely no way they could have been ignorant about what they were doing. So killing maiming and sickening people for profit seems to be some kind of default position for these people. The problem is that these people represent a threat to the survival of my granddaughter. And all of this stuff is highly problematic because such people doing such things represents everything that is wrong with our world. And we need to fix it if we still want to have a world.
It is time for a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment.
You are listening to the Thunderbolt on Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM, where we are proud to announce that we will be airing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth every single week. If you want to know what's really going on, as opposed to what the Wall Street media machine wants you to think is going on, then you're in the right place. You are listening to the Thunderbolt on Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM in Olympia, Washington. This is the voice of the revolution. Listen at your own risk. Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view. And therefore, some of the other folks that work with this radio station always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And now, on with the show! Greetings, my children. You have reached the offices of Holy Miracles Incorporated. All of our miracle workers are currently out in the field raining down manna from heaven and are unable to answer your call at this time. However, I prophesy that you will soon hear a beep. That is your sign that the appointed hour has arrived. You must leave a message detailing the nature of the miracle you wish us to perform and the size of the donation you are willing to give in order to facilitate your miracle. And please note, we do ask an additional 10% on your donation for a translation fee if you choose to speak in tongues. In addition, the big guy upstairs is happy to announce that Miss Helen Waite has been promoted to head our credit department. So if you wish to obtain credit, you can just go to Helen Waite. Anyway, I have always suspected that Donald Trump is a pure Nazi in everything but name. And I have always suspected that he has studied Nazi methods of crowd manipulation. Well, I just heard a linguist provide further evidence supporting my theory, in that this linguist said that Donald Trump uses exactly the same rhetorical patterns as Adolf Hitler and Joseph Goebbels. First, they invoke melancholy by listing all of the wrongs that their listeners have suffered. Then, they choose a select list of scapegoats upon which to blame their woes. Then they use lies and propaganda to demonize them as they build their audience up into a frenzy of self-righteous fury. Then, they offer magical remedies to all of these problems if only the masses will join the party and help our new leader to save the world. And speaking of Nazis, Jeff Bezos used our infrastructure, and he used our courts, and he used the workforce that we educated for him for free in order to make a spectacular fortune. He used cutthroat business taxes. He refused to pay sales taxes. He screwed small business owners all over the country. And for the entire time, he has been bitterly complaining about the taxes to pay for all the infrastructure and courts and schools that allowed him to make his fortune. And the entire time, he has gone to extraordinary lengths to assure that everyone but him pays those taxes. He does this even though Amazon's trucks wear out our highways a lot faster than we do, and even though Amazon clogs our courts a lot more than we do, and even though Amazon benefits from free public education a lot more than we do. Jeff Bezos is ever ready to take more than full advantage of every advantage that all of this offers. And he is ever ready to make everyone but him pay for maintaining it. Amazon does not like to pay for other things as well. Ambulances are always kept on standby at Amazon warehouses during summer months to haul away the workers who collapse due to heat exhaustion, because Amazon doesn't waste money on such frivolities as air conditioning in 100 degree plus heat. But that is not a problem. For you see, Amazon literally keeps workers lined up at the front door waiting to replace them as they fall. So no worry, you will still get your new golf clubs in record time with Amazon Prime. And people who bought these golf clubs also bought this. Amazon has announced that they plan to open up another headquarters in another, quote, North American city. And they have opened up the bids. And now, every city in North America that stands a chance in hell of landing this new headquarters are going to be falling all over each other to kiss the ass of Jeff Bezos. And they will be promising that they are willing to screw their workers and their taxpayers a lot more than anyone else is willing to screw them in order to bring Amazon to their town. Yes, kids, it's the great race to the bottom. So when I heard this reported on NPR, it was immediately followed by a commentary from some droning idiot about how this represents a wake-up call and that Seattle civic leaders need to seriously assess their, quote, anti-business attitudes, unquote. Seattle just needs to face it. They need to join the 21st century and stop expecting rich people to ever pay for anything. Just because they benefit the most from our system, and just because they have all the money, the state government can just make up for tax shortfalls like they did when Boeing extorted the largest single tax breaks in history out of our state a couple of years ago. They can simply take the Bezos share of the tax load out of the hides of the disabled and from low-income single mothers. They can even usually get bipartisan support for stuff like that. Easy peasy.
It is time to get to work. All right. So now it's time for the Thunderbolts cultural segment, which this week consists of the music of a lady you've probably never heard of named Ellen McIlwain. Enjoy.
Hey! girl child coming. She be the daughter of a gun. Get all the little boys to scream out and shout. Get all the phone men to stand up and holler with a door.
Yeah.
All right. That tune was called I'm a Woman. Before that, we had Sliding. And before that, we had Ain't No Two Ways About It. All those tunes from Miss Ellen McElwain, who does all the vocals and plays all that slide guitar. I first heard Miss McElwain's music back in the 1970s, and for years I could not find out anything else about her. This was, of course, pre-internet. I always assumed that she was black, but when I was living in Victoria, British Columbia in 1999, I discovered that she was playing at a local bar, whereupon I went to meet her and discovered that actually Ellen McElwain is a redhead. Anyway, hope to see you next week. I had fun doing this. So please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.